like a whole thing of him and
another fabulous episode of Geeks of the Square Table.
Fabulous episode.
Oh, hello, Sailor. Live from Comic City 2 in Madison, Tennessee.
Son of
Maddie. I am Lawrence of America.
Don't let Jules
and
be
with
the
me is
Gomer.
David.
Taylor.
Jules.
Come on, Danny.
I'll be Danny for the day.
All right.
I love how Patrick Stewart and Ian McKellen are just the best of friends.
Yeah, they drink beer together. Only the Guinness. I love.
They watch the Super Bowl together. Yeah. They like go to Knicks games together.
They went to Coney Island together.
Yeah, they're doing plays together.
I was
going
to say they're in Waiting for Godot together.
Well, you know, they actually wrote another play that they're doing together.
Them actually working together in a play makes sense. Them, like, going to Coney Island and doing their Christmas decorations together? No, that's weird as hell.
That's going beyond promoting stuff. I have to assume they genuinely love each other's company.
Yeah.
Wonderful anecdote. No,
I
mean,
like, and I would love either of their company, so I could totally understand
Ian
it.
Ian McKellen became a minister so he could marry Patrick Stewart and his girlfriend.
Yeah, Larry comes in a couple weeks ago and he said, I heard Patrick Stewart married Ian McKellen. I'm like, wait, what? And it was the different use of the word married. He didn't marry him, he married him and someone else.
Right.
Very awesome.
What you were saying, YouTube video?
There's a YouTube video of Patrick Stewart and his girlfriend, and he's talking about, like, the triple take. And it's just like, you know, her buns are delicious. then you go to the triple take, and then there's one called the quadruple take. And it's just like, this is awesome.
That is awesome, man.
Patrick Stewart.
Patrick Stewart. Yeah. I saw them together performing Waiting for Godot, and I found out while they were in Australia, they decided, because a lot of people couldn't afford how the expensive the ticket was, In the show, they dress up as bums. It's a absurdist play.
Yeah.
They performed it outside the theater in a park.
I heard
dressed as bums. And a lot of people didn't even realize it was them.
They thought it was just bums being
bums. And there's recordings of it on the internet. You could find Patrick Stewart and Ian McKellen performing Waiting for Godot for free.
Yeah. I mean,
in a park across
the
street where people paid thousands of dollars.
After the show, after the play, like, they're like, man, what do you want to do? I don't feel like taking my makeup off. What do you want to do?
Yeah, let's run the park. Yeah, let's go to the park and run
Let's just go do a practice.
That's so awesome. You about my best friend. Yes.
Oh my god, they have to do a music video.
That would be awesome.
Do it now.
Yes, internet. Get on that.
Somebody get on Reddit and make that happen.
People doing fun stuff.
Real quick though, did they actually meet doing X-Men?
Yeah,
I'm sure they had to.
No, I knew they knew it. Obviously, they met when that. I'm asking, first time they met.
That's what I'm saying. I'm sure because
they're both part of the Royal Shakespearean Company prior to years before. Yeah,
how big is the Royal Shakespearean?
Not very big.
They know each other,
right?
They're probably like 30 people.
Official play actors for the Queen of England.
Yes.
I'm sure they've met.
But after X-Men, though.
Aren't they both like knighted
like rekindled? Yeah, they actually are both knights.
But actors, other celebrities.
Other celebrities.
Steve Wozniak.
The Woz?
Yes. Did this thing where
Apple computers?
For Dancing with the Stars? Some random girl's birthday, right? You know, a guy wrote to him and said, hey, I'm getting... you know, my girl on iPod, you know.
Right.
And he had it delivered by Steve Wozniak.
Yeah.
He just unplugged.
Steve Wozniak had absolutely nothing to do with creating the iPod.
Well, no.
Zero.
I understand.
But the girl
knew
her hero was Wozniak.
Stop dumping all over this girl's hopes and dreams.
Right. So he delivered an iPod,
and she delivered an Apple II or an actual Macintosh.
A whole suite of Apple products, and he went ahead and foot at the bill. I mean,
nice.
Which, you know, it's nice of him, but he prints his own money.
Yes, he does.
So, it's, you know.
I'd love to be able to print
he owns so much Apple stock. Yes, he prints his own money.
No, he literally prints his own money.
What do you mean?
Isn't that illegal?
He prints U.S. $20 bills, and he has admitted to it.
You know,
he's
against the law, right?
Technically.
Yeah, that's totally illegal.
Technically.
There's no technicality about that. That's extremely
There's
illegal.
Actually a Secret Service created just to find those people.
They're a division of the Treasury.
I understand that, but he has gotten away with it on a legality. Some technicality. He's found some loophole around it. And he prints his own money. Literally prints his own U.S. $20 bills. And they're like from the 1940s or some shit. I don't know. But he literally, he's, if you can look.
Oh, it's the cereal plates loop thing. Okay.
Right, right. Yeah. And so he has all that. He has
it sounds like a lot like the plot of Rush Hour 2.
I was going to say Rush Hour 2 or like Goonies.
Oh,
like
yeah.
The first 15 minutes of
Goonies. There's videos of him talking about it on various talk shows.
That's weird.
Oh, my God. Steve Wozniak, he was chunk.
Steve Wozniak was chunk.
Do the truffle shuffle.
Let's not talk about the truffle shuffle in the shop anymore. Because I don't
want to
hear anything else.
Oh,
there is video of that.
There's video of me doing the truffle shuffle as I'm trying to get into
it. Do it now.
When did that happen with Steve Wozniak?
I can't see the truffle shuffle on the podcast.
Well, as far as I'm giving the
gift
iPod, the stuff that was here recently.
No, okay, good for
him. But the $20 bills thing, yeah, that was a while back.
And I'm sure Steve Wozniak has nothing else to do. Literally, probably has nothing else
he
to do.
He doesn't have to do anything else. He got tired of counting his money, so he made more of it for him to count.
Well, it's like,
I counted all the money.
Says, I go there and I just peel off pages off my pad, you know, and they're like, you know, six up sheets of $20 bills. Here you go. Is this enough to cover it? How much do you want?
Yeah. Well, that's weird. Why would Steve Wozniak need to print money?
You know,
he really wouldn't.
He owns like Apple, half of Apple. He was the guy.
Speaking of green things and why people needed to do it, why did we need another Ninja Turtles movie? I still think we got it right the first time.
It's a good segue.
Awkward segue.
There's nothing that says we needed another one, but why not?
Why not re-energize Generation?
Like, there you go.
Did the Turtles have lips? Is that something I saw? Or was
Yes. Okay. They did have sort of lips. Only when they spoke to sort of enunciate a little bit.
Okay.
But
so it doesn't look like a Jim Henson puppet, which is what the original ones were.
There's nothing wrong with that. I loved them. But
that's why the third one sucks. Because the Jim Henson Creature Company didn't make the turtles.
That's right.
That's why they all look like the same exact turtle.
Yeah.
With different colors.
The best part of the trailer, though, that's what we're talking about.
Is the end of the trailer.
Michael Angelo says, oh, it's just a mask. I love it.
That's the best part of the entire trailer.
Yeah, and sandwiches.
Sandwiches. I don't want sandwiches.
I haven't had a sandwich in a while. I miss sandwiches.
I don't miss sandwiches.
Call Megan Fox sandwiches because sandwiches are great. You can eat one for lunch, but not every day for lunch.
Yeah, you can't have sandwiches all the time.
Yeah, you can't have sandwiches all the time.
I totally miss the origin of that term, and you guys were talking about it for so long, and I didn't want to admit that I had no idea what you were
sandwiches?
Talking about.
Sandwiches?
Yes, well, now you know.
I got to hear talking about Megan Fox, but I had no idea why she was called
sandwiches.
Now you know. We call her sandwiches, because once you've had one sandwich, you don't really want another one.
You don't want
one
a sandwich tomorrow,
I disagree with this theory.
Of sandwiches?
Yes.
Larry's like Subway.
I understand.
Don't get Larry started with Subway.
I don't know, man. Like, Philly cheese one day, ham and provolone the next.
No. It's the same sandwich.
Okay, the same sandwich every day gets old.
Bologna and cheese. She's bologna and cheese.
That's the worst of sandwiches. Yeah. Bologna is the degree.
But when you're hungry, you eat a bologna and cheese and be like, man, that was the best damn bologna and cheese I've ever had.
I like bologna.
I like bologna too.
Would you rather have bologna and cheese or like a Philly cheese melt or something like that?
I understand that. But if I have unlimited bologna and cheese, I'm going to fry it. I'm going to throw some Dijon mustard.
Just like Michael Bay. Michael Bay has unlimited bologna and cheese sandwiches, and your name is Megan Fox.
And there's plenty of ways to fix it up.
How is it different from like...
Yeah, but
Burton and Johnny Depp combo,
We're getting pretty far afield here. I will say, the part with Michelangelo, that seemed more like vintage turtles. You know,
it just seemed like it was way too out of tone. It seemed just another action movie.
Hey, this may be nitpicking, but why is Shredder a white guy?
Why is Shredder a white guy? There's a quasi-balance.
Why can you see his face?
Let's bring that up.
Do they openly tell you, A, who Shredder is, and B, why is it a white guy?
They're definitely taking the brand in a new direction, and that new direction is a simplification of the story, and where it's not an accident like Daredevil, where there's just goop and turtles getting goop because, you know, there's so many box turtles hanging around New York City sewers.
Genetically engineered by some evil corporation now, I think.
And that is a simplification of the previous story.
Better than aliens.
I think that aliens thing was a bait and switch. I think he put that out there so people wouldn't cry so much about the current status quo that he's setting up for the movie. Yeah.
literally April Fool's.
No, I think that literally was a bad idea. There's like somebody said, no, no, no.
Oh, you think?
Well, by the way, it's a bad idea. It doesn't matter. Do it, whatever. Just make them happy.
Michael, yeah. Just put the movie out.
That's
make
actually
money
a good point. Does the origin really matter that much? Because it's only a footnote of the actual plot of the story.
That's
that
a fair
telling.
Point. I mean, it's not like we're talking about King Lear here.
Yeah,
it's a pretty juvenile concept.
Exactly.
If anyone read the relaunch that Eastman did of the Turtles a couple years ago, they were genetically altered.
Yeah,
and April O'Neil was a scientist.
More like Bebop and Rocksteady than the accident.
Oh wait, hold on, that's weird. April O'Neil not being a reporter.
Yeah, no. Yeah, and it was done by the original creators, so I could see them. That's probably where they're pulling this from. Where April O'Neil was a scientist. Working with
is Casey Jones going to be in this movie?
I hope so.
He's in the other one.
He was my favorite. Well, the turtle characters. Yeah. I loved him
because he
Cricket. Cricket.
Don't you know, know what a cricket is
to play cricket. On a second bet. Tell me you didn't pay money for
that, dude. Nothing's going to beat that movie.
Nothing beats that movie.
No matter how good or terrible the Michael Bay new Turtles is going
to
be.
Give me words to live by. Because, you know,
still be awesome.
Patience is divine. A wise man once said, patience is divine, but never pay full price for late pizza.
Can we keep her?
Yeah.
Love that, dude. That movie's got all the best lines.
Yeah, man. It does. That's a great movie.
It's a Kodak moment.
But defending cricket bats a little bit. They're pretty awesome. They're pretty
Shaun
of the Dead.
They kill zombies.
They're effective zombie killing tools.
Good point.
Also, my end to every argument.
Cricket sucks, but cricket bats are a reasonable weapon.
Cricket sucks.
The biggest end to every argument comes from Turtles 2. Guys, I've got two words to solve all our problems. Timeshare.
Yeah. I expect like chimes to come through.
Timeshare.
The more you know.
Dude, that's a great idea.
We need to get sound effects back on.
Even the soundtrack for those movies, man.
Except for
Turtle Rap, I loved it.
You have to.
You have to love Turtle Rap.
I love Turtle Rap, but I can't stand Go Ninja Go.
Those movies embraced how ridiculous they were. The premise was.
Yeah,
I'm worried that's why they were good.
That's why they were good.
I am a little worried about this movie maybe taking itself too seriously, or at least I was until the Michelangelo thing. So, okay.
You have to write Michelangelo like that.
Yeah.
Especially because if you lose that, you lose the concept of what Ninja
Exactly.
Who is Michelangelo if he's not the funny guy?
Exactly.
He's the smartass. Exactly. He's the Peter Parker. He's the Spider Man wisecracker.
Come on.
But
California Roll.
Yeah.
But that's one of the best.
I'm not sure that it just a few little slapstick jokes are going to be enough, like you said, if the movie takes itself too serious.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, look what they did to Bumblebee and Transformers.
Oh, terrible.
So much for being the comedic relief. He can't even talk the whole movie.
This is one of these, everybody our age, or even remotely close to our age, loves that movie so much.
My kids, though, I've gotten them into it, though. It's a generational thing, man.
It doesn't matter what they do, people are going to be...
What, the Turtles? The Turtles are sacred ground for me, man. That's a giant chunk of my childhood.
No matter what they put out, it's going to piss off a portion of the population.
But the thing about that is, the thing about it being sacred ground...
Everything gets remade eventually. They're
exactly.
They're remaking Blade Runner.
Yeah.
I don't know if they're ever going to remake...
Maybe they'll put some action in it this time.
They digitized the original Star Wars.
Easy now. Let's not go there, Larry.
The thing about...
Let's not talk about Blade Runner.
A property, a movie, a comic, a character, anything being... quote unquote sacred ground is nothing can take away that label from that one thing, no matter how good or bad anything comes after.
This is where fanboys get a little too
attached.
Yeah,
it's almost attached.
They hate on things too hard because
it's different.
It's not what they know, so they're not.
Yes,
well, just enjoy your old movie.
Exactly.
Movies should be able to stand on their own.
The only thing I want changed from is the vending machine,
except for the first four Batman films.
Maybe
just awful.
Maybe
nothing redeemable about those four films.
I will admit that I never saw the charm in those Batman movies. I never saw the charm
in
the Richard Donner
Superman
movies.
I was the first movie I ever walked out at.
But I understand that other people like it, so I'm not going to go out of my way to rip on it.
Yeah, the 1980s Superman was great.
Yeah, it holds up today.
Yeah. Okay.
Would you rather watch the 1980s Superman or Return of Superman or Man of Steel? Of those three, if you had a choice, which one would you pick?
I want to watch any of them.
Yeah.
But if you had to pick
one. Okay.
Man of Steel.
The ones after that,
I was going to go him and go Man of Steel.
No,
I would go with
I'm gonna pass.
Christopher Reeve.
On what, Larry?
Christopher Reeve, I think I miss out on it because I wasn't alive when Superman was actually like that in the comics.
It was like my first Superman movie.
Yeah.
I was born in 77. I saw it on disc in the 80s. Tape.
I don't begrudge the special effects.
They used
effects
to put that stuff on tape, kids.
What are they going to do about the special effects? That's
what's
what they
a
had.
Tape, Grandpa?
But it was so campy and so corny. It was
yeah.
Not even just the Superman element. I had grown up with things like X-Men, Spider-Man, where people made superhero movies and they thought, hey, let's try and make it decent instead of just this corny piece of shit.
Yeah.
In all fairness, I didn't see a good superhero movie until I saw the first X-Men movie.
That is widely credited as starting the superhero movie craze we have today, where they're not just camp fests.
No.
Yeah.
It was legitimately a good take on the characters.
I didn't think the original Superman was so much a camp fest.
Lois Lane, that movie, was insufferably campy.
But it was in the 70s, though. It wasn't.
I know.
It wasn't campy, though, just because it was a superhero movie. It was campy because every damn movie in the 70s was campy.
Fair enough, but to my sensibilities,
of course.
It's just weird.
Was everything campy in the 70s, or did we just not have the
Star Wars was campy.
It was campy.
Star Wars.
So help me, it wasn't that campy.
But it was campy.
It was fairly
Star
campy.
Wars, but
it was
Empire.
It was very tropey.
But that was in the 80s, though, then. It was
late 70s.
Yeah.
Most of them came out in the 80s. Or Episode 4
came out
in 77.
Star Wars came out in 77.
Yeah, bam. Oh, the 80.
Empire came out in 80. And Jedi came out in 83.
And Superman came out 78.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, yeah, it was the 70s, man. It was the camp. It was the Wonder Woman and the Hulk.
It's definitely interesting to watch, like, the progression of how seriously movies can take themselves. Yes. Well, you have, like, you always have things like Casablanca, Citizen Kane, where, like, they're, like, well-executed artistic things.
I was just saying,
and, like, a lot of
they were artistic.
That's balanced against things like the Ten Commandments, where the characters are, like, cheesy. They're doing, like, ridiculous poses and talking with ridiculous platitudes.
Yeah.
It's like, what are you doing? Overacting? Because we were used to silent film still.
Yeah.
Because I'm Charles and Heston.
They're used to acting on stage. They're used to silent film. Cinematography had not evolved to the point that we have it today.
You're absolutely right.
Star Trek is another good example.
It's a great example.
It's brilliant. The writing still stands up, but the acting, they overacted it.
Well, in the show.
Yeah.
Here's the other thing.
Motion picture is the same way.
Yeah.
It's campy as hell. They overact. The story's a lot better,
the
and the effects are good.
It's horrible.
Yeah, it's horrible. But I'm telling you, even though it won an Academy Award for special effects, you're right. It's completely horrible.
It had great
special
effects.
But it's horrible because
the first 30 minutes of that movie and not be sure you're watching something in color. Everything's done in shades of gray. It's amazing.
But that gets to our point where they didn't understand the cinematography.
Nope.
Or modern day acting.
There are gems that are exceptions. Like I'll use Casablanca again.
Oh, definitely,
absolutely. Wonderful acting, definitely. Great cinematography.
Yeah,
but it's
that
great
stands up today
writing.
Brilliantly.
It defines kind of itself as a forerunner to a whole. You know,
that's why it's
genre.
A classic today.
Yeah.
Because of its. It's an impact it had on movies
exactly,
that followed it. Exactly.
Anyone ever seen On the Waterfront?
Of course.
Marlon Brando.
Yeah.
Another great
movie.
Cinematography.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Phenomenal acting.
Another one of those exceptions that still stands up.
Yeah.
Speaking of
love
campy,
Marlon Brando.
Anybody here like John Waters?
Yeah. Love John.
I love his movies are always super campy.
Everyone likes
and
Little Shop of Horrors.
Well,
and he plays up himself being that way.
And,
Jim
Henson worked on that movie, too.
Yeah. I was
where are you
say,
going with that?
Pink Flamingo.
Oh, no, you were just talking about camp. Those are some of my favorite movies because of the camp.
Well, I think the
Pink
camp
Flamingo
was part of it.
That's more cynical campiness than
and
it is.
And the camp was part of it.
Of course,
honest.
Yeah, you said Marlon Brando. That made me think of Crybaby.
Yeah.
Crybaby. But Marlon Brando is legitimately, like, a phenomenal actor.
Yes.
Like,
yeah. Don't think Christopher Reeves wasn't, though.
No.
He was a good actor.
He was a good actor.
He was a product of his era.
Yes, exactly.
Marlon Brando was like a phenomenal.
It's not fair to compare anyone to
Marlon Brando.
Yeah,
you can't.
Arguably
the
best ever.
Exactly. That's like saying, oh, well, she's no Meryl Streep. Of
course
she's not.
Rarified company. We could maybe talk about five other actors who we could debate are better than him, but it'd be a tough debate.
It'd be tough.
It'd be worthless, too. It's all arbitrary, but you're right.
Because he was so different in every role.
Yeah.
Doesn't even look, and On the Waterfront doesn't even look like Marlon Brando. I don't know why his face looks so weird.
Way back to the Wild Ones, where he's a James Dean character.
Well, I recently went through a whole Jack Nicholson phase, and
Chinatown.
One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, The Shining. Those were all movies like within a five period. All three totally different characters.
That's a good mark of Jack Nicholson. Like his probably most iconic role is his role in A Few Good Men.
Yes,
he's barely in that
movie,
but he's still the one everyone talks about
because everybody else in it was crap.
Tom Cruise is pretty good.
He's good in every movie, but he's no Jack Nicholson.
No one's a Jack Nicholson. Of course. Yeah, We're getting back into that trap.
But that's my point, though. Nicholson is one of those ones that you could compare to a Brando and possibly win the argument. Possibly.
I disagree with that, but... Here's the thing, and because he steals that scene, and it's the best scene of the movie. But no, Jack Nicholson has the problem of they don't have him act anymore. He's just Jack Nicholson.
Well, yeah, like in The Departed, he didn't have script.
Yeah, you know, like here, just be you in this. We wrote this to have you as this guy,
and I think that's unfair.
So like you said, he's done some different, and he has a range of emotion.
Yeah.
In his early stuff.
Now he just plays the Lakers.
And now everything pretty much since then, after those three movies, he's always Jack Nicholson.
That happens to a lot of great actors, though. Look at Morgan Freeman. Bam. He's always wise old man now.
That's exactly where I was going.
Of course, he was like 80 now. He can't play anything else.
And like Sean Connery, he shows up, he's Sean Connery, he leaves.
Sean Connery doesn't even bother to mask his... He's the Ukrainian submarine commander working for the Soviet Union.
With a Scottish accent. I love it. I'll watch Hunt for Red October every day if I could, dude. I love it.
In Highlander, he's the only guy. He's not Spanish.
He's Spanish with a Scottish accent.
With the samurai sword.
It doesn't matter.
That's such a great point.
I'm Sean Connery. People just ignore it.
Goodbye.
It's either that or Americans are so dumb they can't tell accents apart.
Going back to the old days of movies, this is like...
That's awesome.
We're still probably pretty squarely in an era where any European character is a British accent.
Let's cycle back. Eastern European is a Russian. Everything Patrick Stewart does, he has some Patrick Stewart, and you're happy about it because that's what you expect.
Yeah.
People walk on the stage, walk on the screen.
You understand that he's him with a voice.
Yes,
Patrick Stewart's British. His most famous role is a French captain.
Yeah. Yep. Yes.
Okay. I'm just saying.
But then like, we also French, and that pronunciation is so good.
We believed it. Yeah. He did it so well.
Because he enunciated
Patrick Stewart is
so
beyond
well.
Our criticism.
Yeah, he really is.
But
I love getting back to unarguable actors.
I love the scene when somebody, the first time the Ferengi show up in the next generation.
Yeah.
And Data goes off, compares them to Yankee traitors or whatever. And then he just goes on this, like, pro-France rant.
Yeah, he does.
Like, no, it's blue, white, and red, not red, white, and blue, and blah, 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 you know?
I love the movie, though. You ever seen Enemy at the Gates?
Yes.
It's Russians versus Germans, and they're all British.
They're all the same accent. I watched Patriot Games last night. Harrison Ford. And the dude, I can never remember his freaking name, from Game of Thrones who got axed.
Sean Bean.
This dude's supposed to be Irish. They're all English.
It's a good thing I knew.
They're all British.
It's a good thing I knew Patriot Games, because you have to be a lot more specific if you say the guy from Game of Thrones who died.
But you knew who I meant, though.
The guy
with
motion of axing.
Yeah, you knew who I meant.
Poor Sean Bean.
He dies so bad.
That's the thing about Patriot Games. He doesn't die.
Yeah.
Until the very end. Yeah,
but he always dies.
He doesn't die in GoldenEye
until the very end. He doesn't die, but he dies
in the very beginning of Equilibrium when he gets shot through a book.
Every County Fellowship is one movie. He doesn't die until the end of that.
I mean, he dies in National Treasure too. No, he didn't die. He gets caught. He goes to jail. And then he dies in jail.
I assume that the epilogue we didn't see that movie was him getting shanked in prison.
That's awesome.
Get into special features. It's narrated by Morgan Freeman.
I want to say that John Bean put up a good fight.
That's a... That was awesome. let's change gears to this week's opening movie.
Captain America!
It looks awesome.
Tomorrow night. It looks incredible.
Don't do it.
Oh, in all fairness, Chris Evans has retracted his statement about retiring.
Yep. Oh, well, good.
That's good.
It's probably his contract. Marvel's like, you can't say that, dude.
Yeah. No, I think Marvel said, if you want to retire, here's...
Okay, it sounds like he doesn't have plenty.
He's like, oh, okay.
No, lots of actors also direct.
They're all employed.
And it's like, he probably has more of a shelf life on acting than he does on directing. There's no rush to get into directing.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And well, the thing about he can do both. Thing. He can do both.
Yeah, plenty of actors do it the same time.
Yes.
Many actors direct the movies they act in.
Don't live within their means or whatever, but if he has any sense of financial sense, two of these movies would be enough money. You could probably retire for the rest of your life.
Probably.
You
could just go,
and just do conventions every summer and then travel everywhere.
That's my, that would be
you
my
could
dream,
just buy man. A mansion in the wilderness and just...
And do conventions.
Yeah, 30 years ago, I played a guy with a shield that you don't know. So
hey
just
man,
give it to your parents.
I'm going... Shatner's doing this live experience at the theaters. I'm going
to
go watch it.
Yeah, like
Shatner hasn't
it
done
too.
Anything in years, but I always go see him.
Boston Legal?
He definitely doesn't need money.
I was going to say, Shatner did Boston Legal.
She loves Shatner? Yeah.
But he doesn't need money.
He doesn't thank my dad for this.
Right. Well, I mean, he makes that a big Expedia money or Priceline money.
Priceline negotiator.
But he doesn't really need any money.
No, that's probably closer to the 85 to Destroya era.
Yeah.
The Shows era.
The pre-2000 they're era. Talking about Shows era. Godzilla toy statue thing.
It's a bank.
It's a piggy bank. It's like 12 inches.
It's beautiful. It's a beautiful ring.
It's a wonderful piggy bank.
It's what you think of when you think
of Godzilla.
It's more of a classic movie Godzilla.
It's more of the
Shows era. Oh, also, Brown coats. We've gotten some more Rebel flags in. Those sold out like within 2 days last time we got them.
$29.99, I believe the Godzillas are.
Not
20.
That I want to turn this into an advertising.
No, it's cool. Get those at Comic City too.
We never said
Son
of Maddie.
I said Son of Maddie.
You said Son of Maddie. What we didn't say was Goodnight Elaine.
Yeah, we didn't say that. Are we starting the show saying Goodnight Elaine now?
No, no, but we've been letting Jules do it for like the past
3 weeks.
Yeah.
This was us talking about saying and not actually saying it, so yes, it's still good.
You still have an opportunity.
Yay.
But,
anyway.
I'm really excited about Captain America. It's supposed to be
awesome.
A really good movie.
The critics are raving about it, saying better than the Avengers.
That's what I've heard.
Yes. That is really hard to believe.
Honestly,
I gotta find out for myself.
I just didn't love the Avengers.
I loved it.
Shut
I
up,
it was
Larry.
Great.
But anyway,
what was your biggest problem with the Avengers, Larry? Why
that scene was too chaotic.
Well, it was.
Look at this.
Here was the Avengers. This is the Larry summary of the Avengers.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah.
Cripes.
Everybody
so,
locked in.
Let's start out. We're gonna start out with an Iron Man movie, an Iron Man and Friends. Iron Man and Friends. Iron Man and Friends. Superhero WWF. Good night.
Ooh, yeah.
You can oversimplify any movie like
that.
Okay, Star Wars.
Go ahead.
A teenager meets an old man in the woods. Well, not the woods.
It's
the wilderness.
A teenager meets an old man in a canyon. He tells him to help him save a princess. He does, but the old man dies, and he blows up a spaceship with a jet.
Boom.
That is Star Wars. That's three of them, actually.
You can sum up Star Wars and go watch Kurosawa films.
Yes.
Agreed.
Yeah. I'm just saying, like,
John Wayne Westwood.
If we're going to tear any movie to brass tacks, we're going to destroy every movie ever made.
Right. No, don't shoot the Duke. But they remade the samurai movies before.
But you didn't think there was any plot in Avengers? There was plenty of plot.
Well, no, but
with the most of it was with the villain.
What was supposed to be the big epic scene was just
a fight,
a mess.
Maybe.
It was just a mess. There just was too much going on.
I couldn't disagree more. I love that fight scene.
That's what the Avengers
That scene ruined the movie.
You're talking about
me.
The Battle of New York.
Yes, that ruined the movie.
I loved how sprawling it was.
I know it's an unpopular opinion.
Of course.
But it was just chaotic. I didn't care for it. It ruined the movie for me. And then I hate Marvel for referencing every other freaking property.
Let's just agree to disagree.
Yeah, because that's every major...
I started this rant knowing that nobody would agree with me. That's just my opinion.
The reason I think it was good is because I think it was so well executed. Every character had something to do, which is a big pitfall of these
defining point for Captain America, where he just shows up. He's like, "I'm Cap, fix it," and they get to work. Like, dude,
when Hawkeye shoots the arrow,
Hawkeye and Black Widow
catches it, and then it still blows up in his face.
That was probably a big worry going into this movie. What are Black Widow and Hawkeye going to do? They might be useless, but they weren't. They
as far as the individual elements that make up the scene go, I don't think Larry would argue that there were a lot of great moments that made it up. But I understand what he's saying, that
the whole
it was
punching Thor
kind
was
of...
Brilliant.
No, it was awesome. There were a lot of
Hulk's adrenaline
small
pumping
elements.
So much that he had to get one more thing.
Hulk smashing Loki into the pan.
Yeah.
Ragdolling
him. But I can see what he's saying by it being all over the place and it seeming like it was a sporadic and out of control thing.
Well,
it was supposed to be chaotic.
All those
it was an alien attack
service?
On the largest city in America.
Aren't those are fan service for the comic book fans, which, hey, hate to break it to y'all, most moviegoers don't read.
Most moviegoers like the movie.
Yeah, most made $1 billion. Yeah. I mean,
yeah.
But I understand what you're saying.
Most moviegoers like sandwiches too.
You're absolutely right. No, I completely understand what you're saying. That it did seem a little chaotic.
But so is
every
war
it was supposed
scene
to be.
Ever in any movie. At
I
that
think
point.
It was supposed to seem.
So
chaotic.
Is the opening scene to Saving Private Ryan.
Oh yeah.
So is every battle scene in Star Wars.
I think it was.
So
supposed
is any movie
to be
with a war in it. It's too chaotic.
But if
that's
that threw,
what
if
war
that
is,
threw you off,
well,
of course
no.
That's
well, no,
fine.
Okay.
That's
the Death Star trench run is linear, completely linear. I'm going to argue
right.
Star Wars in just a minute. Because, there's a lot of craziness going around, but they focus it a lot better. It is very,
yeah,
very
but
pointless.
It was still so
what about Hoth, though? What about
Endor? Hoth is a mess?
Or, yeah, Endor
or
they're all over
the
place.
Second Death
the
Star
second
fight?
Star.
Yeah,
there's
they're
like
all
five
over.
Other scenes
yeah.
going on,
yeah.
other than Star Wars.
But they're done in such a way that you know exactly what's going on the whole time.
And are you saying
are
that...
Are you saying that Avengers did it?
The Battle of New York,
exactly
you didn't understand
what's
going on.
All
going
over
on
me.
I felt like
so
I followed
it
pretty
out of it.
Well.
Yeah, I felt like I was never lost. Yeah,
are you that, saying that it was so chaotic it took you out of the story
it,
you couldn't follow it?
It took me out of the story,
okay.
Yes.
All
right.
That's definitely
ruined the movie
fair.
For me.
Let's
that's
roll back
fair.
And talk about Cap some more,
yeah,
I guess.
Let's talk about Cap.
All
right. I
so,
want to see...
I didn't even realize that Peggy Carter's going to be in this movie.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I want to see 100 helicarriers.
Yeah.
You know,
I just want to see the Falcon.
I want to see
gonna
it all.
I'm going to throw this
all.
Out there.
I'm excited.
A huge Falcon fan.
Everybody's,
and I think
everybody's talking about
service.
How badass Black Widow is in it.
Yes,
if you look at the trailers,
the
we haven't really we've seen
her,
a lot of her
really,
in
yeah.
the trailers. That's a great thing to go see the movie.
Yes.
A great moment.
Yeah.
Or a great
apparently,
aspect.
Scarlett Johansson and most of the Marvel people are hoping this will be a big jumping off point to maybe do a
hopefully
Black
we get
Black
a Black Widow
movie.
We really need a strong female lead movie
it'd be pretty
in these
BA.
Comic book movies.
Yeah.
We do.
Yeah,
apparently they're already...
Yeah, and, Jules with the Falcon, though. I love the costume they're giving
yes.
him. He doesn't look...
It's a mix
yeah.
of ultimate and original. Where
well, it's more military. It kind
yes.
of fits where it was built.
He doesn't
more.
Look
it's
cheesy.
He doesn't, yeah.
If you were to import the comic costume directly
it's
to the
Red
movie,
Robin.
It would look
yeah.
ridiculous.
It's Red Robin, and Red Robin's ridiculous.
Yes.
But
Red Robin rips the Falcon.
I loved Red Robin's old costume.
Oh yeah,
like,
me too.
The
Dr. Midnight.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Like Red Robin's new costume is a poor Falcon.
It's a very poor.
It's
Falcon,
a very poor Falcon.
Considering that
because Falcon
yeah.
could throw his wings up and put his arms down.
Yeah.
Red Robin apparently can't.
No, his hands are not free.
No.
He's like Banshee.
We're talking about a Black Widow spinoff. You were about to say.
Oh yeah. Yeah. There's talks about doing the Budapest story
with Hawkeye,
which they've never. Yeah.
Loki referenced it in the Avengers movie.
I don't like the idea of them flashing back. If you're going to go and make another Marvel movie, I want it to go forward, and I want it to be part of
well, it, but
the rest
Captain
of
America
the
movie.
But it's
an
origin.
Flashback.
Yeah, and
that
was the worst, and it was the worst,
story.
And it was the worst of all the Marvel movies, in my opinion.
Really?
I liked it quite a bit, but...
I didn't hate it, but as far as comparing them to all the other Marvel movies, no, it was not my... It was my least favorite.
It's also worth mentioning that was phase one, when we were still
introducing
the character.
And I'm also
going to
argue that Hugo Weaving as Red Skull really kind of wrecked that whole movie. Only because it's Hugo Weaving. He shows up, he rules the scenes he's in, he leaves.
Amazing.
He's
amazing.
Like, I'm boss bye.
Yeah.
But
then, like, now
amazing.
That we're in, like,
stop
phase two
about,
and phase three, if Black Widow comes up, it'll be probably phase three at the earliest.
Yeah. But
yeah,
don't you think that an origin though. Going back that far would
well,
actually...
Well, I'm agreeing with you.
Oh, okay, all right.
But either
all right.
way.
But the same that's rare! Taylor and I are agreeing on an opinion. It's amazing.
I could see arguments for both sides, but I agree with you in the sense that now that we have this interconnectivity, which was the whole point to build it up in the first place, it'd be kind of weird to rip it away.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you don't have Hawkeye and Black Widow's origin. Still.
I know we need that, but I don't think we need that.
They're agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. I can live with that.
Yeah.
I also kind of like how they it's something that's cryptically referenced rather than like completely.
But more than that, Black Widow comes off as, oh, I got red in my ledger, and Hawkeye comes off as a douchebag, too. It's like they're trying to make up for it. Let's not go back and see them being douchey.
But there's also talks of them maintaining with Hawkeye and maybe the Falcon. For a whole movie with the three
I would
of them.
Dig that. I would
with
dig
her
that.
At the point.
I would like that.
Well, here's
no powers.
No,
I would love to see
and
that.
And that's what they're talking about,
to
a whole
that.
No powers.
Larry,
the
go
advantage
ahead.
To doing a Black Widow movie is they can attract into the Marvel fandom a whole sector of a Bourne Ultimatum fans.
Yes.
You know, spy movie stuff. Fans, yeah, very James good. Bond yeah. fans.
And also
that wouldn't even touch a Marvel movie.
Pulling in Spider-Woman into the movie.
Yeah, or Captain Marvel.
Yeah.
You could do
either of them.
Carol Danvers. You could do a lot with a Black Widow movie that you can't do. If there's a male lead in the movie, it's hard to introduce a female character and have her seem relevant. That's just the way it is. If Black Widow is the lead of the movie, it's easier to bring in other female characters. It just is. That's a sad state of affairs.
I think,
but it is.
I think the world has progressed far enough where we can have these movies. We can have strong female leaders.
I love it.
And there's a ton, especially in the comics right now. There's a ton of great characters to draw from.
Yeah,
we've got Sally Dukonic killing it with Captain Marvel. We've got
Miss Marvel is decent.
Miss Marvel is awesome.
Black Widow right now has been awesome in comics. In a way that she's never been awesome before.
Ms. Marvel is beautiful and yes. awesome.
Yeah. What do we think about the Fantastic Four movie and them dropping the ball on such a powerful female character? Do we think that happened? Wasn't that a great opportunity to highlight
first,
a female character?
No character in that movie, theoretically, should be the lead, since it's the quartet.
Agreed. Right.
If anyone is going to be, the fact of the matter is it is going to be Richard.
Yes. Yeah. But you don't think there was an opportunity there?
Yeah.
There was, because
she's the strongest.
Yeah, in all fairness.
The arguably,
FF movies, yeah. Jessica Alba looks horrible as a blonde.
I won't go as far as saying that Jessica Alba ever looks horrible, but you're right. Okay, you're right. You're right.
She was a blonde in Sin City. Yeah. That's the only thing that was
that's
colored on
that
though.
Was
that's
black and white.
Yeah,
no,
that's
no,
different.
Her hair's colored in that movie.
But it's different.
It's her. It's coloration of her skin tone just looks off when she has blonde.
Yeah.
And the rest of her is in black and white.
Yeah, good
it's
point.
It's the tan.
Yeah.
The
good
tan
point.
Doesn't match.
Good point.
Yeah.
But
Jessica Alba is awesome. You know, she's got like her own line of like non toxic shampoos.
Yeah.
And cleaning.
I only ever
she's
need to
great
see
lady.
Her in Machete ever again. But that's her best role in the history of my life. I don't know anything other
Dark
than her.
Dark Angel, awesome.
Oh,
show.
Oh, Dark Angel all day long.
Dead. Dark Angel was really ahead of its time, man. People didn't know what to make of it.
Yeah.
When it came
reading
out.
Now Ultimate Fantastic Four, which was tandem with what they pulled most of those movies with.
Yeah.
Sue Storm is the most relevant character
yes.
in the story. Does
and she
the most,
should be.
And she was the leader of that team.
Yeah. You look at any family, all right? Any just traditional, normal
mom.
Family. The mom's
in
charge.
If
mama ain't
run,
happy, ain't
Sue
nobody happy.
Yes. In all fairness, in Hickman's run,
yes.
she ran the team.
She ran everything.
Reed was always babbling.
Remember Reed would go away in his little dungeon
yes.
with all the writing,
and
she'd be like, what are you doing, Reed? Our kids need you.
She
yeah,
might
dude.
Have been the most, like, the...
Even
the
his
fact
F
leader of the
run.
Team, but I would argue though that Hickman's run, if it was about any one of those
Val.
Characters, it was about Reed.
Oh, it was about his mirror machine,
yeah,
the bridge.
So much of it was so much of the forward action was driven by his inventions.
And
by,
him
like,
ignoring his family yeah. in to
well,
do his
well,
inventions.
By him, well, that was a crucial moment when he chose to go to embrace
right,
his family
of
instead of being.
Part
instead
of, the
of
bridge.
Abandoning them
yes.
like these
or
other
being
Reeds.
Part of the Reed.
But I
what
mean,
do
they
call
it
the
Reed
Cabal,
Council
the Reed.
Of Reed.
Yeah,
yeah
Council of
whatever.
Reed.
That was awesome.
But
though,
Reed,
was
awesome. Awesome. Reed creates all the problems in Hickman's run, and Sue helps solve all
yes.
of them.
Yes.
Sue becoming queen.
Sue
was and punching Namor in the face.
When she went and visited Namor, I was
awesome.
Like, oh, dude,
Sue was
what
such
are you doing?
A badass in the book. I love the part where, like, Reed has his, like, council of supervillains
yes.
in, like, their ready room
the
or
symposium
whatever.
On how
yeah.
to stop Reed Richards.
Yeah, yeah. How are we going to beat this council, Reed? And, like, someone was like, aren't you worried, all these supervillains over there? I've beaten all of them before.
Yes.
What's the big deal?
She was like,
awesome,
I could literally take the air out from all of them and
yeah.
suffocate them all
we'll
to death.
Fill their lungs
okay.
full of a...
Yeah.
Of a
Force
yeah, field.
Force field,
and
yeah.
done, yeah.
Love it. It was a great moment.
Sue is like a better version of Green Lantern, if you think about it.
Yeah,
really
yeah.
she is. That's an awesome point. She really is.
And she's literally lifted whole cities.
Yeah. Do we want to talk about what we were talking about earlier?
What? Oh.
There was a conversation going on in the comic book shop before anybody got
me
here.
Going
about,
my,
well,
Mark.
Even before you got
oh,
here,
okay.
there was a couple people. This was the genesis of it. They said, if... The rings, the series of rainbow rings from DC Comics and the Green Lantern
hit the Marvel U. Who would get what?
Who would get what ring?
Hulk's obviously a red ring.
Boom! That's the
that's the easiest
one.
There's a red Hulk for that.
Okay, hold on. Would not also Wolverine be a red ring?
No, potentially.
He does like fear in the field. Punisher, though, I think would be a better choice for the
Punisher's
field,
a great fear.
Anyone can get there's multiple rings, guys.
Probably better.
We could do whole cores, really. If you
I have
it
a
out.
Problem in that. I feel like a lot of the people who are good candidates for a hope ring are also good candidates for a will ring.
Dude, this is the exact argument we had earlier.
I say Spider-Man should be a hope ring.
I think Spider-Man should be a will ring.
My first instinct is hope for Spider-Man.
Yes. I'm gonna what about Captain America? What's your first instinct?
Well, I would give him for will.
I like hope. Yes, I like hope.
Okay. Okay. See, that's the thing, though, is right. You could switch those and they would work.
I know.
I thought that just occurred to me. You saying that would be Magneto to a will ring.
No, I think Magneto would be compassion.
Compassion.
I think Magneto would be
fear. But it's weird.
I'd say compassion because the compassion.
Yeah.
They're so gray area about.
Compassion is a hard one.
It's a hard one. They're good and bad guys in the comic books, as is Magneto. Yeah. I think he fits the bill.
Oh, but we were talking about Sue. Sue,
and
love.
Sue would be love land.
Easy.
Yeah.
Easy.
Yeah.
What
about Orange?
Who are we gonna put with Amorice? What the hell are we thinking? Okay, yeah.
Doom?
Doctor Doom?
Doctor Doom gets an Orange.
I think Quicksilver is a better candidate than Doctor Doom.
I do too.
Doctor Doom has
more
compassion.
You know what? Doctor Doom, if we're allowing for evil Green Lantern, he'd be great at will.
He would be any color. Yeah, except, even love, in a way, because he loves his country, even though he's a douche.
And he loves Valeria, the original Valeria, not Valeria Richards.
Yes.
Before he killed her, yeah.
Yeah.
He didn't mean to.
He totally meant to. That was the whole point.
But he regrets it every day to the point where he helped Sue give birth to Val.
Yeah.
They let him name her, and he named her Valeria Richards.
It's just a little fun geek.
He wants everything. He's filled with wrath. Hope would be a little hard to put on him.
Granted, yes. I'll give you that.
I think you can give him compassion, though.
If I have to come up with one thing to define Dr. Doom, it's indomitable will.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Okay, it was awesome. What's Iron Man grab?
Iron Man.
Because let's be honest about it. He's I was gonna say he's very much greedy in that he's trying to just do his own corporate shenanigans.
No, you know, I
could see him for Orange if I had to put it on someone.
Green Goblin would be
I got the money, but his character is. I got the money because I want the glory. I want the women.
Right.
Backing up for a sec, I actually think they kind of dropped the ball a little bit when they were assigning rings in the DC universe.
Yes, go ahead.
Superman is the hope ring, not
agreed.
Barry Allen.
Yeah.
If it goes to one of them, it goes to Superman.
Yes, totally.
Barry
agreed.
Could have it. But
I thought they did a great job with all the other ones. Scarecrow getting
sure. Yeah.
Yeah. Come on.
Yeah. And it's not going to Batman, which I love how he was the first choice.
Yes.
He's the scariest guy, not only on Earth but in that part of our universe.
Yeah, it's so cool, man. But yeah, it was just a really fun discussion. We'll have to do that. We'll have to do an article.
And not only that, I have to say, actually, Iron Man gets the love lantern. Because, in all fairness, if you read any arc of Iron Man, he ultimately drops everything for Pepper and Rhodey.
Oh, I'll give you that. I'll give you the Pepper and Rhodey. Even
he's really not that greedy, too. He gives most of his stuff away.
His little buddy.
Jarvis.
No, the other one. Happy.
Happy.
Yeah. Even Happy, he drops everything for him.
And not only that, the Avengers ends up being his love for everyone else. He foots the bill for the Avengers on everything. He loves everybody so much.
He owns the mortgage on the mansion.
Yep.
I'd have to say Iron Man gets the love lantern.
That would be so
weird. Iron Man
weird. Wearing
like the pink purple lantern Speedo is like really.
Well, no, his suit would be purple.
Yeah,
it'd
be.
Well, that's sexist, isn't it? All the female sci-fiers have to wear like skimpy bathing suits.
Oh, of course it is.
It's
comics after all.
Okay, yes, that's true. What was I thinking?
That's fun.
Marvel doesn't put really skimpy outfits on anybody, so he could keep the armor.
Yeah, that's mostly true.
Yeah, there's rare.
It's happened from time to time,
but it's a rare thing for them to maintain.
Yeah,
I mean Iron Man's power is the armor, so
true.
And his intellect.
Well, when Lex Luthor got his orange ring, it pretty much his armor he fights Superman in.
Yeah. That's awesome.
His cancer suit.
But I think Iron Man would be a love lantern.
Oh, man. That's awesome.
That's a horrible thought.
It is.
But at the same time,
it makes sense.
It makes perfect, honest sense.
You could argue about it.
I mean, in all fairness, he gets all vengeful because of his love for the guy who helped save him in the beginning. Yeah. What's his name? The guy who helped create the original.
I just said it, Jensen.
Jensen. Yeah. He grew to love Jensen. And he originally didn't care about Jensen, but grew to love him and wanted to help get him out of that camp.
Mm.
Awesome.
I guess you could argue that Iron Man, if we're arguing for people who, like, love their loved ones and, like, have all these friends, Spider-Man.
Yeah, Spider-Man could be a great love lantern.
But we're talking about which one's the best for
Yeah,
the
but I think Hope is the best.
Hope has to be for Spider-Man.
And I think Iron Man love his best for Iron Man, personally.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of Spider-Man's blue suit right now. That would look awesome, actually.
It would. And his Hulk landing costume
really
would be
cool,
awesome.
Man. Yeah.
Just superimpose the red with blue. I mean,
yeah.
Just, I mean, it worked for Barry Allen.
But like, he also like work in like the Blue Lantern emblem and
yeah.
like
yeah. into his spider. That'd be awesome.
Since it almost looks like a web anyway, yeah, that's pretty.
Yeah. I would like to see how the Marvel create the House of Ideas would do that. You know, with which character?
No, I think all four Fantastic Four would really be Compassion Lanterns.
Oh, actually, okay. Ben Grimm is my new top candidate for Compassion. Right?
Yes,
oh,
definitely. Ben Grimm for sure. Yeah. I think Reed too. Honestly,
he'd also be good for Will though. Ben Grimm would.
Ben Grimm. Yeah.
That's the thing about
well, because Ben Grimm. You
Will is such an easy one to
it's
do.
It's so easy.
Yeah. Because all these by the nature of what they do, yes. they have strong wills,
and that's why they. That's
say,
why they picked.
I was
going to
say you could almost superimpose Kilowog over the thing, and it'd be.
Let's
take a minute.
That's a good point.
Will is too easy to do.
Yes.
Compassion's too hard to do.
Yeah.
I think.
Still cool, though.
It is still.
What would
cool.
Thor get?
Oh, wow.
Red Lantern.
I hadn't even considered Thor.
Red Lantern.
Red.
Oh,
Red.
Rage, I could see.
Yes, I don't want to see Ragey Thor, man.
No, hold on.
That would be bad for everyone.
Especially when he starts vomiting hate over people.
Yes,
like,
yes. But he would probably be like Atrocitus.
Well,
with, like,
hold on, let's consider,
rage.
Though.
Go ahead, Taylor.
Thor is pretty fear-inducing, especially among races of giants.
Boom.
Yes. But I don't know, man. I think anger is really what gets him through every fight anyway.
And Loki gets an orange ring.
Yeah, Loki would.
Oh, okay, Loki's a good orange ring candidate.
Easy.
I don't know. I think he's more suited for yellow.
Fear?
He's not really that greedy. Loki's not like the type greedy for the throne. Loki is scary,
but he's not the type of person. He shows up in a room, people just piss their pants.
Like Batman. Batman comes in, I'm pissing my pants.
Loki's more of a subtle kind of. He's the kind of scary where if you think about it, you should be very frightened.
Yeah.
It's not like he just like steps in the room and he just exudes fear.
Like Scarecrow.
Yeah. Thanos would be a yellow.
Thanos would definitely.
He already has the yellow in his costume.
I was gonna say, wouldn't he also qualify as kind of a greed ring because he's always like trying?
No,
to
because he does everything out of. And he can give him a love lantern because he does everything for his love of death. He loves death so much.
He does everything for love.
He does everything for love.
I will do it. Oh no, sorry. You can't have that. I'm singing Meatloaf.
In all fairness, the original reason he got the Infinity Gauntlet was to give death an actual body. He wanted to bend the universe to let death live. Black Lantern.
Okay, are we including Black Lantern?
No, we're not going to Black Lantern.
Thanos with the Death Ring just goes together.
Only dead people get the Black Ring, which would be awesome.
Sorry. So Jean Grey?
No.
Uncle Ben.
Gwen Stacy.
Even if not right now, eventually.
Eventually.
Gwen Stacy having coming back, especially with Peter having the compassion and or the love.
Well, yeah,
are you kidding me?
That
would be an amazing
with Kyle,
story.
Remember? When he
awesome.
Had to deal with Jade coming
yes,
back?
Yes, yes.
Great time.
Yeah, but Gwen and Peter would be so much
so good.
Cooler if
imagine
they did
Mary
that.
Jane in that.
I don't like Mary Jane as anything really, but
I don't like Mary Jane period. But Gwen and Mary Jane, Death Lantern and Love Lantern.
Oh. That's what you want. You
that's
see
what I want.
Death fight.
Yeah, it's no. I thought a long time ago that the best thing going on, which I loved Spider-Man Blue for doing,
yeah.
was the Gwen and Mary Jane rivalry. It felt like for a long time, Stan Lee had made Peter Parker secondary to the two of them hating
yeah.
each other.
Yeah.
That was the real battles going on. No computer.
Yeah, the research I don't know, man. It's all right though.
Which, if you've ever read Spider-Man Blue,
yeah.
phenomenal
yeah.
book by Jeff Loeb and Tim Sale.
Yes.
And it's all about the fights that Gwen, Stacy, and Mary Jane
Jeff
had over
Jeff Loeb and Tim Sale are a great combo.
Great combo.
They know it.
There's certain writers and artists that just, like, they do great work together, like Grant Morrison, Frank Quitely.
Boom.
Jeff Loeb.
Grant Morrison.
See you later.
Well, Stanley Jack Kirby, obviously.
Oh, obviously.
So good Tim Sale doesn't do anything because Jeff Loeb isn't a good writer anymore.
He's not.
But Tim Sale has only.
It's been a while since he used to write great stuff.
Jeff
Long Halloween was one of the best Batman stories.
He's good
stories.
When he's out of continuity.
Yeah.
When he can write something that
Hush
doesn't hinge on anything.
Hush was good.
Hush was never meant to be in continuity.
Yeah, it was.
Not until after he was done.
No.
Hush was never meant to be. It was never meant to be part of the ongoing DC continuity of Batman
until
it was finished.
In the main when he was
it was the main
DC
book.
DC asked him to do Long Halloween in continuity.
I'm trying
said
to
no.
think
and
about
he said, I'll do something a little different. But that's what Hush was yeah. is Long Halloween in continuity.
I'm trying to
that's why it pulled
about
every villain.
I'm trying to think about something, anything in Hush that would set up red flags that it wouldn't be continuity.
No, it was his. Yeah.
The only thing I've ever read that says it wasn't was an interview with Jeff Loeb that says that it was never meant to be in continuity when he got the idea. Maybe I read it wrong, and it was Halloween.
Long
Hush
Halloween
was originally
maybe,
intended to be Dark Victory. He wanted to write that plot as Dark Victory.
Yeah.
DC came to him and asked him to do
something in continuity.
A Long Halloween in continuity, and he was like, this was
maybe
gonna be
that's
the
where
sequel.
I read
yeah.
it. Maybe that's I read
like,
it wrong.
This was going to be the sequel, so he put Hush in continuity and wrote Dark Victory.
I'm going to have to go back
instead.
To that. It was a long, like, an, like three
Dark
pages.
Pretty good.
Yeah.
I love Dark Victory. It is not as
it
good.
It does not stand alone at all.
No.
You have to read
Long
Halloween.
Yeah. Which is still, in my opinion,
which
the best
Batman
story. Which
is something you should
read
anyway.
Halloween.
That should definitely
Long
be one
Halloween
of your comics you should have read
It's definitely one of my
now.
Top five Batman stories ever.
It was one of my trade back throwbacks 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
It was, in my opinion, the best Batman story ever told.
It's awesome.
It makes Calendar Man awesome.
Calendar Man was pretty cool. Well, if I had to do a list, it would probably be Dark Knight Returns, Year One, then probably Long Halloween.
Yeah,
which, by the way.
And some of the newer ones, Snyder newer
Miller,
ones in the New 52,
I don't know if you know
would actually hit top five for me, man.
Death
Court of the Owls was awesome.
Court of the Owls is good. Death of the Family. I like Death of the Family.
I liked it too, but I love Court of the
ending.
Owls, man.
But,
yeah, I hated the ending.
You know, Miller and Loeb talked about, technically, according to them, Long Halloween is a sequel to Year One. I'm not even joking. According
that makes
to them,
sense.
That, it's
too.
The same Batman.
It makes sense.
Year One, Long Halloween, Dark Victory, and Dark Knight Returns are all,
early
as far
career.
As the two of them concerned.
Yeah. I consider that story to be the more or less canon version of Two-Face's origin.
Yes.
I mean, if I'm not supposed to, my bad.
But I don't think any of those books are actually in canon.
No, they're not.
Yeah.
But according to the two
but
of them...
But Hush isn't either anymore, is it?
No.
Technically,
nothing we
well,
ever
no,
read.
No, because
I don't
Blackest
know what
Night
the hell
is in canon.
I think...
Other than what was going on in Jeff Johns' Lantern Run, that's the only thing that's canon in New 52.
Yeah, well, Rebirth has to be
my
in canon
understanding.
Too. It has to
is
be because of Hal Jordan.
Green Lantern
that's
stuff.
That's all of Jeff Johns' run.
Yes, okay.
Green Lantern stuff and Batman stuff are still canon because those were the books that were selling well, so they didn't feel the need to retcon them.
Yeah. Except for his origin.
What kind of sucks now is that apparently. Year One is no longer canon because the origin story is totally different than Year Zero, which I don't like it as well.
It's not done yet, so I'm not going to judge, but yes.
I think that's a problem. It's gone on too long.
It's going to have another arc.
I know.
It's still going.
I know.
It's going to be like, this whole year is still going to be origin of Batman.
Yes, Zach.
It's way too much. I agree.
Scott Snyder's written himself into a hole where he's going to do all 4 years of the before... The freaking Court of Owls.
He's trying to fit way too much into this story.
Yes.
Because you know what? The Batman editor that was working there was telling him not to do all this.
And they fired him because of it.
No, he quit because DC's moving to LA.
We don't know if he quit or if he was fired. We're not exactly 100% sure.
No,
we do know that it changed. No, they're not going to come out and say,
we're not
privy
to office politics.
Yeah.
We never will.
They're going to say, we'd rather you resign if you don't like the direction that Snyder is taking. And of course they could say that. And he said, okay,
Snyder
I'll resign.
Was doing good stuff.
He was selling books.
I think this might end up being a cautionary tale about a great writer who gets to the point where he won't listen to his editor.
Yeah.
Because I think the editor was right.
I do too. We'll see when Batman Eternal comes out.
What, did he take over Spider-Man books?
Who?
The Batman editor. He works at Marvel now.
I don't know if he was taking
Wacker
over Spidey.
Does Steve Wacker do it anymore? He's done it for forever.
Oh, yeah, no, maybe Wacker's he's not Spider-Man. Man. Maybe it's something else.
But he
took over like a main group of books as the editor.
Speaking of which, Spidey's coming back in a couple of weeks.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, the Spider-Man movie? Amazing Spider-Man
No, did you not read the last issue of Superior?
Yeah.
We're talking about Amazing Spider-Man.
The last issue of Superior.
The comics.
Wraps up Superior, actually.
Yeah. How's Peter back?
He's the same way he was
spoiler
there.
Spoiler alert.
The same way he was
spoiler
there
alert,
before.
If you haven't
he's
read
in
it.
The subconscious
he's been in the subconscious.
Take over his head again.
And he was... So...
Okay.
Turns out he didn't destroy all of Parker.
Sight.
Parker stayed alive through what memories Ock had of Parker.
Which are the most important memories of Spider-Man. The responsibility and the Uncle Ben.
And so in his mind, Peter Parker starts becoming Doc Ock. Like, he's not Peter Parker anymore. He's Doc Ock. Up until he relives Peter Parker's last moments on the Earth, where he's relived all of his life. And he remembers who he is.
Mm-hmm.
And then the goblins destroying everything, and Goblin, or Doc Ock says, I know you're in there, Peter. I can't do this. You were right.
You are the superior.
You are the superior Spider-Man.
And basically,
I'm way in over my head.
Doc Ock's mind from Parker's body and brings back Peter.
Doc Ock eradicates himself and says, you know what? I can't do this. Please save the woman I love.
Yeah.
You write
the whole thing. Are we talking
about Mary
Jane?
No, little girl.
Anna Maria.
Anna Marconi.
It's Anna Maria Marconi.
Yeah, Anna Maria Marconi.
Oh, that's an odd couple.
So, yeah.
It was the awesome. Sweetest couple that so Peter Parker adorable. Has
He even goes off on Aunt May for asking her questions about being a little person.
Yeah, it was awesome.
So,
hopefully they bring her back.
Yeah,
she's been the best part of Superior.
Well, that's the thing is, he's going to save her, and Doc Ock's like, I can't do it.
Yeah.
Norman is 10 steps ahead of me because he knows me. But he's not ready for you to be back.
Yeah.
Does Norman knew then?
Norman knew was Doc
Ock. I'm not meaning it at all. I'm waiting.
Oh, yeah. Norman knew was Doc Ock the whole time.
Okay.
He was like, I know it's you, Otto.
Yeah.
It's so obvious
it's
you.
I'm not excited for the relaunch of Amazing.
I'm not, but it was done in
I was really pissed off when Superior launched. Like, I was mad at Dan Slott.
But it was
and now
awesome.
I'm mad at Dan Slott for canceling the book, for going back to Amazing.
Well, he can't win that.
He can't.
I'm glad that Peter Parker's
going to happen.
I know.
But you know,
knew Peter was going to be back.
I didn't resent them killing Peter. Yeah. What I resented was them trying to convince us that this was actually going to stick.
Oh, exactly.
No one believed
that.
Oh,
of course not. It seems kind of like the way they're doing it, and this is just me thinking out loud. It seems kind of like a brand new day, a one more day. It's just like we need a way to nerf Peter back to where he's interesting again because he's had such a storied history.
Yeah.
There's really nothing new to tell about him.
Yeah, because
and now they're doing Learning to Crawl. That's going to be the first
isn't
major
that the,
arc.
Isn't that the pitfall well, of all of these great
things,
characters?
Agreed. Things in but why do
they're
we,
retelling Batman's origin story. Yeah. That's not terribly original.
There's things that happen in Superior that Peter is going to have to deal with because
Parker Industries,
yeah. The Avengers, the fallout
Avengers.
With the Avengers.
Yeah, that, so there's going to be all that too.
I'm torn. Between editorial and creative team, I'm torn.
Get over it. Because
I know.
Peter Parker's
I know.
You know, as much as I don't like Dan Slott, he's on a roll. We'll just deal with it.
Oh, that was Silver Surfer.
It was an awesome way of telling the character. The panel work was brilliant.
The panel work was
well,
the reason.
I already knew the art
was
going
to be
good.
I read it online.
It was awesome. It was a good way to start off.
I'm not buying anymore, and I'm not reading them anymore, so don't worry,
it
buddy.
You know what? The Silver Surfer is a hard character to write.
Yeah.
He's so powerful.
That's a good
Moral
point.
Dilemma is a great way to write the character.
Yes. That's almost the only way to do it.
Yeah.
It really is.
And to pin it with someone he doesn't even know. And I kind of, at the end, he's like, oh, you have Nova. Oh, you have Drax. You have all my friends.
Silver Surfer 2 is out today.
No, it's not.
Oh, was that last week?
Yeah, I was about to say, that's a very quick turnaround.
Yeah.
Wait.
Well, that's how Avengers
Silver Surfers is out soon, isn't it?
One came out last week.
Oh, was it just last week it came out?
Yeah, last week.
Oh, that's right, with Iron Patriot and Ghost Rider.
Mike
Alred's I didn't get. I should have gotten that
brilliant.
One instead of
I think he's
Iron Patriot.
Gorgeous.
It's terrible.
Well, Iron Patriot, yeah.
It's
well,
a really bad book.
Silver Surfer looked incredible.
Yeah.
Slott knows what he's going to do, actually. Yeah. I actually think it's going to be a cool story.
Well, cool.
Yeah.
Awesome. Ghost Rider was great last week.
I'm excited to check it out.
Look for the reviews of both of those books on OutrightGeekery.com.
Oh, did New Avengers not turn it all the way around?
He did. He definitely needed the back-to-back issues, week-to-week issues, because 14 was the worst issue of the bunch. 15 was the worst issue of the bunch.
16 was the best.
16 was
so good.
New Avengers. New Avengers.
All right.
It was pretty good, but it still didn't feel
like
we're moving
time
forward.
Time here. Any final
they're
thoughts?
They're going to fight the Justice League. It's going to be awesome.
Final
the
thoughts?
The Justice League or the Black Priests, apparently.
Yeah.
No.
Dr. Fate.
I don't know.
Apparently.
One of them is the Black Priest, apparently.
We got She-Hulk coming out this week. Moon Knight is coming out this
week. New Warriors is coming out.
New Warriors number 3. Magneto number 2.
Black Widow number 5.
Number 5. A lot of great books from Marvel this week. DC still dropping the ball. I got Detective Comics this week because of the creative team. It's the same creative team that started
I wasn't
going to
pick that, but I saw you talking about it. Okay, I'll give it a
yeah. The creative team on that with The Flash, the story was not good, but the art, it was worth buying it just for the art.
Actually, honestly, it's getting to the point. I usually only pick up one title per character.
Nice.
So I'm...
If you ditch in Snyder's run,
time for me to see if I want to jump to the new Batman book.
Nice. Batman Eternal is out next week.
Oh,
that's going to be a weekly.
It's
going to
be bad.
It's not going to be good. It's going to be popular. I just don't think it's going to be good. Yeah, that's all I got. All
right.
Dave. I'm excited for Captain America.
Boom.
Taylor.
Avengers Trivia Night at Brick's Pizza in
Hendersonville.
Streets of Indian Lake. We're going to be there trying to win.
Something.
Something.
I talked to the four-letter nerd guy, and he said he's scared. He's scared of y'all.
He should be.
He should be.
They deal with a casual nerd that y'all are too hardcore for him.
We are hardcore. Did they really say that?
Awesome. Almost verbatim.
I think we know all of Avengers.
They're scared where they even see your fright throw there.
We'll go in there and probably bomb. He's like, I don't know.
We're talking about a big game. We have no idea what questions are going to be.
It's all about mind games.
I look forward to the summer and the spring. And
I said
doing
that
more.
Before it was
spring
80
just
degrees.
Started. It's too early to look forward
I
to
said
summer.
That last
I'm
night.
I'm Cuban, okay? I don't like anything slightly cold. Anything under 80 degrees is.
No, I said that before it hit 80 degrees in my house last night and I had to turn my air conditioner. I was like, man, I'm disappointed.
Dude, I slept like a baby last night.
Not me. I sweat and woke up at 2 in the morning. It was 80 degrees 80 in my house, man. I hated it.
Any final thoughts, Danny?
WrestleMania.
Yeah, Hulk Hogan's coming back for WrestleMania. We're all losers and love that stuff.
WWE Network is like a Netflix of WWE. $10 a month.
They aren't doing it live. They're
guy run the risk of him breaking his
hip on TV. It's Man Wrestling.
Anyone watch that movie?
Please watch it.
Great film as well.
What?
The Wrestler? The Wrestler.
Oh, yeah. I thought you were going to talk about a Hulk Hogan.
No, I'm going to leave.
Go see Cap.
Yeah, go see
my
Cap.
My favorite wrestling movie is They Live with Rowdy Rowdy.
Oh, yes! Totally, Larry.
Can I count
Friends? Most fight scene ever.
Dude, and they're buddies. They're like best friends.
Since Andre the Giant is in, can I count Princess Bride?
Yes! Even better, Taylor. Oh, sorry, Larry.
Swinging it back.
He is.
That's all for us here at Comic City 2. Join us next week.
Yeah,
OutrightGeekery.com.
Say it! Good night, Elaine! She will be there tomorrow while we destroy everybody
else.
I get
to hang out with my kids
Avengers Trivia Night.
While we're brainstorming, Thor's origins.
Yeah.
Oh, Thor's origins!